Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
What we're going to do is thank the veteran of all veterans. The veteran of a foreign war, not seen actually, to where you could put your hand on it, but seen very much. It's a spiritual battle. It was a battle that was won over 2,000 years ago. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Because of this battle, the world can experience freedom. Freedom like it's never experienced before. So we give you thanks. Lord, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord. On this Veterans Day, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all that you did for us, Lord, for bringing us, Father God, to a right relationship with you in what you did on the cross. You died for our sins so that we might have life and have life more abundantly, Lord God. We thank you for that. We praise you for it, Lord. Thank you for giving yourself for us, Lord. We give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. If you will, open your Bibles to, I better get to preaching because we've got some stuff to go on. Exodus chapter 14, we're going to start at verse 10, if you will. Glory to God. Title of this morning's sermon is The Wall. How many of you are glad that God provides a wall for us? Amen. Hallelujah. Exodus 14. I'm going to start at verse 10. Everybody there? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord. We ask you, Father God, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. Let us receive from you, Father, from the oldest to the youngest. Touch our hearts this morning, Lord. You're a great and mighty God. And you can do far above anything that we can ask or think, Lord. So, Lord, as we open your word and as we listen to what you might be saying this morning, we ask you, Father God, to speak to our hearts. Strengthen us, fill us, help us, Lord. We thank you for it and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Exodus 14, starting at verse 10, it says, When Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And I just would probably ought to just start out a little bit. The children of Israel had just come out of Egypt. Egypt had basically been destroyed at this time because of all the plagues that Egypt has gone through. And the Lord, as they came out, the Lord told them, there's going to be one more thing that's going to happen. They're going to come after you. And so get ready. I like because the Lord will give warning. Is that okay? The Lord will give warning. So he told Moses they're going to come after you, he says, but I want you to encamp by the Red Sea. They're going to think that you're trapped by the land because you're going to be up against the sea. And he says, and Pharaoh's going to come to his senses. He's going to start thinking, why did we let them go out? Even his people in Egypt are going to say, why did we let them go? And so they're going to come after you. And here they have come with all their horses and all their chariots. And they're coming after the children of Israel. And so that's, I should have started that with that. But this is verse 10. It says, Pharaoh drew near. The children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were so afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth from Egypt? How many know fear will make you say things you probably wouldn't say otherwise? Fear is one of those things. How many of you ever been afraid of anything? My granddaughter was walking, and and her mom was standing in front of her the other day, and but her she had her focus on what she was going, and her mom goes boo, and it scared Hank. But fear can make us do things that we generally won't do. How many know that? Anybody ever done anything out of a burst of fear? So here these people are telling Moses, why'd you bring us out? We you should have just left us. Man, was there not enough graves in Egypt that you bring us out here to die in this wilderness? Moses is the center of attention. Is that right? Hallelujah. Praise God. I love Moses. Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. I like that. Nice way of saying you're going to be quiet, right? He's going to fight for you. You guys are going to be quiet after that. Knock it off. You know, I believe that maybe Moses at this point did not know what he was going to do. All he knows, all he knew was that God had told them to go up against that, against the Red Sea. And as far as Moses knew, hey, God's going to do something. Is that right? How many of you know it's okay to trust God where you can say, I know, I might not know what he's going to do and when he's going to do it, but I know that he will do something. Is that okay? Because God will do something for you. You might not know when, might not know how it's going to happen, but I will tell you, God is hearing you and he is listening to you, and he will do on your behalf whatever you need if you'll trust him. How many know trust is a big thing with God? Amen. God says, trust me. Just watch and you'll see if you just trust me. Hallelujah. I like the song that we're singing, Emmanuel. He has not left us. He's with us. Is that right? The words in that song, I said, oh man. There's quite a few words in the songs we were listening to this morning that just hit my heart. And so I believe Moses is wondering, oh, what am I going to do? Lord, okay, now what? I told him, don't fear. Easy to say. You got a whole Egyptian army. That Egyptian army was the best army in the world at the time. Is that right? They knew how to fight. They knew how to kill people. They knew how to do all the things that people in war do. And these people are saying, hey, man, we were just brick makers and stone layers. And here comes this army after us. Verse 15, it says, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Folks, and one of the things about fear, it tries to keep you back, tries to hold you back. But God will always try to take you forward. In your fear, if there's a fear that happens in your heart, allow God to pull you out of that fear. Let him take you forward out of the fear. Never go backwards from the things. These folks are looking to go back to Egypt. They were saying, oh man, now we can't even go back. These guys are going to kill us. You can't go backwards anymore. You're going to have to go where?
Forward.
Everybody say forward. Best place for you is going forward. Is that right? Hallelujah. Things are going to happen to you. Sometimes things that aren't very comfortable for you, they'll happen to you. But the best thing to always do is, okay, it happened. Nothing we can do about it now. Is that right? It's already happened. All we can do is go forward. Just continue to go forward. Hallelujah. So he says that. He says, tell them. He says, why do you speak? Why do you cry to me? Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up now your rod. Stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. I could see some of you saying, but I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. Would you say that? God says, stretch out your rod and divide the sea. It's like God saying, you divide it, Moses. All you got to do with God is just be obedient. Okay, I'll pick up my rod and I'll speak to the sea, divide. And that sea responded to Moses, and it divided. Praise God. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near to the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall on them to their right hand and to their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, I like that, that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, and upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians and upon the people. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Chapter 15, verse 1 says, Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spoke, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He's become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against you, and sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with a blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upon as a heap. The depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy them. Thou did blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Praise God. I love that, man. I love the story. Today we're going to do baptism, and the baptism is a picture of being released from Egypt, like the children of Israel, and all of their power over them, what they were in bondage to was broken in that water, in the water. So for baptism to us, we are like the children of Israel. And when you go under the water is like death, dying. And then when you come up out of the water, It's like resurrection, just like Jesus. It's a picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I love this. I love this story, and I probably use it a lot for baptism. But one of the things while I was going through it this week, I was immediately this week. Last week I woke up with a weepy spirit, and I told a lot of you that last week. Didn't know what was going on, but a lot of times when I have this weepy spirit, I get a little bit uncomfortable. It's at a time because every time before I've woken up or gotten up in the middle of the night with a weepy spirit where I just begin to weep. I know God's doing something. A few years back when my father-in-law passed away, I had a weepy spirit. When my mom passed away, I had a weepy spirit a few days before. When my brother passed away, I had a weepy spirit. And so, I don't know if you understand this, but it just made me kind of just a little bit uncomfortable when I woke up with a weepy spirit last Sunday. And I was you know, fighting it off. I said, Lord, man, I prayed. I was praying the Lord. I said, God, I don't know what's going on. So I really began to, with my family, with my, you know, my loved ones, the church, all of you, I began to pray. I said, God, I don't know what's going on, but whatever's going on, Lord, I come against anything that would come against the body of Christ here in the name of Jesus. And I was just going after it, man, going, you know, without not knowing, just not knowing. And I am baptized in the Holy Spirit, so I prayed a lot in the Spirit that morning. Every time I prayed in the Spirit, it just the weeping would just come on me, just almost overwhelm me. And so I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on. Well, I found out what was going on later that evening. The church in Texas. And as soon as I heard that evening, I had gone to the hospital after service to visit some folks. And when Rosie and I had gotten home, heard about the shooting that happened in Texas. Immediately, I knew, my spirit, I just knew that that's what it was. It was about that. And folks, I don't know why things like that happen. I just don't know. God does know why. How do you know that? Do you know that we can trust God? What do you know? Do you believe that you can trust God in times like this? Do you believe that God, it did not surprise God at all? How many of you know that? The Word of God says that God is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows, and everything in between. So I believe that God knew exactly what that was. That's why I believe that I was weeping about it. Don't know anything other than that, folks. Can't explain it. Can't explain why something like that would happen. But I can say to you this morning that you are safe. How do you know that? Amen. I can't say to you that God is watching over you. I can't say to you that you there's no need to run out and buy a tank and get ready for whatever else might come. Can I tell you? Can I just say this to you? Just as God told Moses, tell the people to look forward and not backwards. They were looking backwards and they saw the Egyptian army the Egyptians had always ruled them, always been over them, always, treated them badly. And they began to complain, they began to go after Moses, the man that God had spoken to lead them out of Egypt. And folks, we don't need to jump to because of fear in our lives. How many of you know that fear is never good for you? Fear, you can use fear, when it comes to you, you can use fear to turn it around and say, God, I'm just going to trust you. How many of you do that? How many of you say, you know what? You know, I don't know what's going on with my son's life, so I'm just going to trust you, and I'm going to pray, and you begin to pray, and you use that sense, that emotion that tries to come against you, and instead of allowing it to stop you and hold you, you begin to use it and go to God and say, God, I don't know what's going on, but I'm just going to pray to you, because I know you will help. The Word of God says to call upon God in time of trouble. Is that right? And He will do what? He will answer you. He'll always answer you. Hallelujah. God has not told us to be without wisdom in this world. He's told us to be wise in this world. Is that right? There's some things we can't see coming towards us. Absolutely just don't know it's coming. But he has provided, listen to me, he's provided something that to help us to see things in advance. Is that okay? Do you know what that is? His name is the Holy Spirit. He has been given to us to help us, to comfort us, to watch over, to show us, as the Word of God says it this way, things to come. Things that are coming, the Holy Spirit's there to help us. Hallelujah. Rosie and I were driving to service, and now you guys have heard this story. I'm going to tell it again because this is, I feel God saying it. We were driving to Sierra Vista. We had this big Pontiac station wagon, and I'm just driving along. She's asleep in the front seat. I'm driving. Don't remember thinking about anything. Just driving. We're on that. Highway 70 from right outside of Benson over to Fort Huachuca. I think it's 70, but we're on that highway there. And all of a sudden, I see this Ford station wagon, old, probably like in the 60s, early 60s, 60 or 61, had the big round taillights like that in the back. It was kind of a rusty orange primer color. Had bicycles, and the back end of it was loaded. It just loaded up. I'm probably doing about 60, 65 maybe on this road. I see this car, and it pulls out right in front of me. And, oh, Rosie, I locked up the brakes. Because, man, I'm going to plow into this thing. It right in front of me, it pulled out. So I took my eyes off of it, and I put my hand out to catch Rosie. And when I turned around and looked, there was nothing there. Rosie goes, "Are you falling asleep?" I go, "Oh, man, I saw an old car." I said, "This old car pulled out in front of me." And she's yelling at me because it scared her. And I'm thinking, what in the world? And I had slowed down probably 15, 20 miles an hour. I had slowed down. And just when I look back, just then that wagon pulled out right in front of me. And I was going slow, and I still had to kind of ease it down just to keep from hitting him. But see, I realized then that was the Holy Ghost. That was one of the functions of the Holy Spirit, that he says, "I will show you things to come." And I rejoiced. I said, "Praise God. I just got something from the Lord." Even though it scared scared both of us, man. But God was watching over us. Do you believe that? Do you believe God watches over you? He does. He takes care of you. Hallelujah. Turn, if you will, to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Starting at verse 8, the Word of God says, "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, 'In such and such a place shall be my camp.'" He's telling his men, his servants, "This is where we're going to be. We're going to camp here." Syria was at war against Israel. He says, "And a man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that you pass not such a place, for there the Syrians are come down.'" Verse 10 says, "And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved him there, not once, not twice." In other words, he did it over and over. He kept doing it. The man of God would tell them where the enemy would be, and so they wouldn't go over there. Another time, the man of God would tell them where the enemy would be. They wouldn't go there. So they kept missing everything. The Holy Spirit was telling this man of God, "This is where they're going to be." They kept missing the enemy. Verse 11 says, "Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, 'Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?'" I've got a traitor in the bunch. Isn't that right? I've got a mole. Is that right? There's a mole in the bunch. He says, "Will you not show me who is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel. He tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber." Praise God. And he said, go and spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. I'm going to just go get him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent there horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city round about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and with chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Or what are we going to do? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? I like Elisha. So Elisha answered and said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. What do you think that young man was thinking? What? More with us than them? Oh, come on, Elisha. I've been your servant a long time. Don't lie to me, man. It's just me and you, dude. And the dog. I don't know if you had a dog. I mean, it's just us, man. He said, Elisha, are you kidding me? I believe probably Elisha has a little bit. Yeah, check this out. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Isn't that cool? And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. It always pays to be a man of God. It always pays to be a woman of God. It always pays that you keep yourself, that you watch over yourself, that you do what's right in the eyes of God. Is that okay? Is that okay for me to tell you that? Because it always is good for you. Because when you maintain your connection with God, God begins to build that connection. And can you see that Elisha had a confidence about who he was and where God was in his life? He goes, hey, man, Lord, smite this bunch with blindness. Cool, man. Is that right? And did the Lord do it? Yes. He absolutely did. He did. I love it, man. And Elijah said to them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man to whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. Samaria was actually a capital city of the Israelites and their enemy. And it came to pass when they came to Samaria, Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria, their enemy's capital city. And the king of Israel said to Elijah when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? Should we kill them? And he answered, you shall not smite them. Would you smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. So he prepared a great provision for them, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Isn't that cool? Isn't it cool how God takes care of your enemies? Does the word of God tell us if your enemy hungers, what does it say to do to them? Give them food, man. Feed them, man. Hallelujah. Folks, can I tell you that God will watch over you? God is watching over you. I must say that I had a few phone calls and I had a few folks come and talk to me. I said, what are we going to do to protect our people? We know what we're going to do. We're going to move forward. We're just going to keep moving forward. We're going to believe God that he is able to watch over us and take care of us. How's that? Is that okay with you? As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And I believe this is my house. Is that right? We'll call it our house. Let's go. Everybody say, this is my house. Everybody say it again like you mean it, though. This is my house, man. Hallelujah. And we're going to serve the Lord. And he's going to watch over us. He's going to take care of us. I will not resort to the ways of the world to try to accomplish anything. I will not do it. I won't do it. My heart is to serve God and to go after God and allow God to do just like he did with Elisha. Amen. Tell them that the problem is going to be over there. Expose the enemy before he comes, before he gets here. Can I tell you that God will do that? Folks, that's why it's so important that we keep our lives in line with God. that we say, God, whatever is in my heart, remove it far from me so that I can speak to you and see you do what you want to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Watch this. Watch this. Let me give you a few scriptures. If you're writing scriptures down, Psalm 34, verse 7. Can we put that up? Psalm 34, 7. This is what the Word of God says. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. Is that right? How many of you believe that? Whether you believe it or not, don't matter. It says it. That's what it says. Angels of the Lord, God's angels, or the angel of the Lord himself, hallelujah, encamps around you. Invite them into your house once in a while. Say, come on in, man. Is it cold out there? Come on in. Have a seat. Hey, have a cup of coffee. Hallelujah. You know, spend some time with me. Let's get into your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews 1:14. What does it say? And they, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? These are, we're talking about the angels. We're talking about angels that are sent forth to minister to you. Do you know how they minister to you? This is going to freak you out right here. By your words. By the way you talk. Psalm 103 says this. I think that's right. Bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to what? The voice of his word. It doesn't say hearken to his voice. It's talking the voice of his word. So when you place his word in your spirit and you speak it out, what your voice speaks is the angels are saying, you heard it, boys, let's go after it. Amen. That's it, man. That's the word we're watching. Hallelujah. When you say no weapon formed against me will prosper, the angels say, you heard it, boys, go after it. Hallelujah. No weapon that's formed or positioned towards them. Let's wipe it out. Come on, man. We're not talking about natural things, folks. When we're in the house of God, we're talking about spiritual things. These are the spiritual things that God has told us to hold on to. These are the things that will keep you in a time of trouble, if you don't understand what I'm saying. Because God does want to keep you. And the best thing that's going to keep you is his word coming out of your spirit. Saying these things. Hallelujah. Hearkening to the voice of his word. I love it, man. You know what? Keep them busy. I think angels can get bored. Come over to your house, they're looking at you. Is he going to say something? I don't know. But this guy's boring. Got nothing to say. We're here ready to do. If God would just let us see him once in a while, is that right? It'd be cool, man. But they're there. I guarantee you they're there because the word of God is true. It says they're there. Elijah the prophet. Lord, show this poor guy. He thinks it's just us, but it ain't just us. Hallelujah. So are you safe? You bet you are. Psalm 121 verse 4 says this. I love this. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills where whence cometh my help. I mean, I love this scripture, but read the whole chapter. But it says in verse 4, it says, behold, he that keeps Israel or you shall neither slumber nor sleep. You can take that Israel as the land of Israel, which it is. But also, you are the child. You are, if you believe God, you are the seed of Abraham. Makes you into the family of Israel. That's cool, man. So he says this, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So even while you're asleep, he's wide awake. He's watching over you. He's taking care of you. Psalm 4, verse 8 says this. Let me get back on here. It says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, and I want you to look at this word only. Only makest me to dwell, what? In safety. In safety. Hallelujah. Only the Lord causes you to dwell in safety. See, it's important to know these things. Is that right? I've got nothing against guns and tanks and stuff like that. But I'm just trying to say, just don't put your trust in that. Don't trust those things. Trust him. Trust him. He's going to take care of you. Hallelujah. Proverbs 21, verse 31. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
The horse is prepared against the day of battle. But what? Safety is of the Lord. I put this on my computer one time at work, man. Because safety was the safety department was just driving everybody crazy with all the new things that they wanted you to do. And if you get up, something like this, we would have to be tied off. Isn't that right? You would have to have a chain that would hold you in case you fell off. And so, and you know, it's almost like nobody knows how to do anything again but the safety department. Because they said, you cannot do that. You cannot do that. So everybody was a little upset and everything. So I went ahead and put this on my computer, and it was going all over. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. And I put that in great big letters, bold as I could get it. They told me to take it off. So, what? Take it off? I said, that's who I am right there. I need to take it off. I said, well, there's a guy over here who's got something that's from Muhammad on his. Are you going to make him take his off? And they looked at me. Next thing I know, it was a memo to everybody. It says, you must remove all your stuff. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. I think a lot of people saw it because some folks commented on it. But I'll tell you, folks, safety is what? It's of the Lord. Say it again. Safety is of the Lord. Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? Do you believe you're in a good place? It's important that you do. It really is. Hallelujah. Don't doubt what God is doing in your life. Hallelujah. Do you know that we make up the walls in our life? Do you know that? Do you know that God has given us the authority to do those walls? Do you know that? I want you to, if you remember, there was a story about David, and he was on the run from Saul still, and he was out in the fields, and he was always watching over this guy's sheep. He's always alongside of them, and the guy's name was Nabal. And Nabal was a churlish man, is what it says. That it was kind of a how does a jerk sound to you? Not good in the house of God, but that's what he was. Anyway, they would watch over him and his flocks and kind of help. And so David, when he was shearing the sheep, David said, "Hey, he sent a couple of guys down there to say, hey, man, tell him, you know, hey, we were helping. We're kind of watching over you guys. Could you spare anything you can give us? We'd like, because we're just kind of we got nothing. We don't have fields or anything." So, so he sends his men in there, and Nabal looks at him and goes, "Who is David? Anybody can get away from their master nowadays. And why should I give you anything?" He said, "Man, get out of here, man." So he sent them off. But Nabal's servants went and told Nabal's wife Abigail and said, "Hey, man, surely we're in trouble. David is got a band of mighty men. They are warriors. And our master has just insulted him." Insulted him. "So you better figure out what's going to happen." He goes, because one of the things that servants told him, told Abigail, was, "These men were a wall for us during the night, during the day. These guys actually protected us, man. David and his men were a wall for them." So right away, Abigail puts some gifts together and goes to David and actually changes the course of what David was about to do. Because David was going to go in and wipe them out. He said, "That's it, man. We've been nice to these guys, and I'm going to go wipe them out." But Abigail met him and changed that course. So David actually, because of who he was, listen to me, because of who he was, how many of you know he was anointed by God to be king of Israel? Wasn't there yet. He wasn't king yet, but he was anointed by God to be king of Israel. The anointing that was upon him, I like this thought, could be wrong, it's okay. I like this thought, but that anointing helped him to be a protection for those people. And let me just tell you, folks, that we, with the anointing that we've given, that's been given to us, the who it is, Christ within our lives, has given us the ability to be protective. Is that okay? Because it's not you, it's him that dwells in you. Do you get that? He's dwelling in you. Huh. Hallelujah. So it's up to us, folks. It's up to us to make up hedges. I'm going to look at Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 29 through 30. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and the needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Is it what, you hear what God's saying? The people of the land. How many of you know there's people out there that are doing these things? They're using oppression, exercising robbery. They're vexing the poor and the needy. There's people like that out there. Is that right? And folks, I'm going to tell you something. We are called to be protectors. All of us. And he says, this is what God said. And I sought for a man or a woman among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found what? None. Can I tell you, God is still looking for people to make up the hedge. He's still looking for us to be those folks that will say, hey, I'm going to stand and I'm going to make a wall here. We're going to make, I was telling the folks this morning, I've noticed from Duval Mine Road all the way down to Continental Road, all the guardrails are fixed. Isn't that great? On the freeway? Isn't that great? Everybody, I can see everybody going, what? What is that? Folks, I want to tell you something. I would be driving down the road and Rose would be, you know, sitting next to me. And I go, hey, look at that, man. And she goes, what? And it's so fast. I mean, I go, the skid marks. Do you see the skid marks? She goes, no. I go, oh, man. Who knows what they were doing? See another place where the guardrails were wiped out for, you know. And you see skid marks running over there. And for some reason, I was interested in skid marks. Anybody been like that? No? Probably just me. I said, man, hey, man, if I had a camera, I'd take pictures of every skid mark on the freeway. No, it wasn't. It was just a weird time in my life. I was looking at skid marks all the time. I go, what the heck? Why am I looking at these skid marks? What is so interesting about a skid mark to me? Absolutely, what it represents. The Lord, I asked the Lord about it. Lord, why you got me looking at skid marks? Shouldn't I be concentrating on other things? Like your word? The Lord says something to me, every place that you see in that road is where the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. When I felt that, I said, ugh, that makes me mad. Praise God, man. So now, I pray for our highways. I pray for our streets. I pray over our city. That was the beginning of God beginning to work in my life to pray over my city. Hallelujah. Just with some little skid marks going here and there. He says, because people might be losing their lives. And that's why I'm excited right now. That's why there's no guardrails busted up right now. They look like they're doing pretty good. I mean, hey, I bet we've spent a lot of money for guardrails. How many know that? You guys watched them wiped out like crazy? Yeah. We need to pray for our city. Jeremiah 29, verse 7. Check this out, folks. Hallelujah. And I am employing you this morning, if you will. How many need a job? Yeah. Well, guess what? We're going to employ you this morning. Seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captives. Pray to the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof you shall have peace. This is where God was talking through Jeremiah that about the children of Israel. They had been dispersed and had actually got into Babylon, I believe it was. And the people were crying and weren't wanting to go back to Israel. And the Lord, Jeremiah, sends them this message. He says, hey, pray for seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to be carried away captives. Pray unto the Lord for it, for the peace. For in the peace thereof you shall have peace. The Lord sent a message to him, hey, just do what you are. Be who you are in your city. And allow God, allow me to bless your city, just wherever you are. And I'm going to tell you the same thing tonight, this morning. that wherever you're at, God, you just pray for the peace of your city. Pray for the peace of your neighborhood. How many of you ever heard somebody next door going at it, yelling at each other, screaming? Anybody ever heard that? Yeah. My next door neighbor one day called me up. He says, "Hey, man, get over here. I think your neighbors are going to kill each other." I said, "Why? They're fighting over the water, over the well." I said, "Well, come on, man. What's wrong with you guys, man?" "Well, you don't pay." "Well, he doesn't." Go home. Go home. Hallelujah. Pray for the peace of your city. Pray for the peace of your city. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isaiah 26, 1 through 1, 2, and 3. Isaiah 26, verses 1, 2, and 3. Says this: "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city." How many of you want a strong city? I'm not talking about our basketball team. Our NBA basketball team is doing great. Our football team is doing great. You know, we're a strong city. I'm not talking about that kind of a strong city. I'm talking about a spiritually strong city, a spiritually healthy city. How many say amen to that? Because you know you can pray for that. You can go for that. "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keeps truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is" what? "Stayed on thee, because he" what? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Don't put your trust anywhere else. Keep your mind stayed on him. You're going to find that he will bring perfect peace to what you need. Hallelujah. He will watch over you. We can speak over our city. Folks, you guys know I walk. I go around this city. I go around this city. I am praying, because I am speaking. I said, "Lord, there is nothing that can harm us in this city." Amen. Sunday mornings, I'll go out. And I have to make sure I go around the building. I said, "Lord, there's nothing coming into this house that is contrary to who you are. I won't allow it." I speak that myself. I'd hope you guys would agree with me in those things. Amen. Agree with me in those things. That's why I'm wearing my shoes out. That's why I got to talk Rosie to buy me some new boots. My boots, these boots were made for walking. Hallelujah. And God has, and folks, there has to be an attitude in your heart. Don't worry about what's going on. You just pray. Is that okay? And watch what God will do. Employee, I am employing you this morning. Let's pray over our city. Let's put up, remember Star Trek? Shields up. They're not coming up. Scotty. Hallelujah. Shield. Let's put up some shields in our neighborhoods. Amen. Hallelujah. Is there a drug guy down the street? Pray. You don't have to call the police on him. Sometimes we trust our police departments and fire departments more than we do God. And say, "Hey, yeah, you know what? You see something going on? Say, Lord, you need to stop that." Praise God. Hallelujah. The wall. I want to just take you back to when they were crossing, if you remember, when they were crossing the Red Sea, the Bible says this, that the angel of the Lord went from before them, behind them. And the Lord protected them, watched over them, didn't allow the Egyptians to get close to them. And then the word of God says that when the sea was divided, it says the waters were a wall to them. A wall. Can you imagine going through that? Can you just imagine? And you know, I like the movie that came out years ago, and they show them walking, you can see the water swirling around and everything. But can you imagine the feeling of going through that? Can you imagine the Egyptian army going down in there? Seemed like somebody would have said, "Hey, this doesn't seem like a good idea to me. How about you?" Yeah. And if those things break loose, we're dead. And that's what happened. Is that right? But for the children of Israel, those things were a wall. Abe, can you put up the scripture? Put up Exodus 15, verse 8. Look at this. While I was reading this, and this scripture, for some reason, hit me different than it's ever different. And it's not real obvious, but so with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap. Just towered up, man, this water, just either side of them. The word of God says in the other place, it became a wall to them. But what I like is this word says the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. That congealed means we're made firm for them to walk on. Is that okay? Pretty easy, pretty simple to understand. But what I saw in this scripture was something just a little bit different. You know, the word of God can be very deep. Is that right? How many know that? There can be a depth in the Word of God that we can't even explore. So there's so much in it, and it's so God powerful. And so it's hard to be understood. But where it says the depths were congealed in the midst of the sea, I believe in my heart, I say, Lord, let your word be made firm in the depth of my heart. In the depth of my heart, allow your word to be so firm and so congealed, if you would. Is that a good word? Congealed. Let it be so firm in my heart that no matter what I see and where it goes, I know that you are true and your word will never fail me. Amen? Amen. Ooh, come on, man. Hallelujah. Folks, now's not the time. Listen, this is something that God had me write down. This is it. Do not be deceived by today's headlines or nightly news reports. This is not the time to shift your focus from the kingdom to the world or to yourselves. You have no time to be distracted by fear. Let me lead you and take you to your next level. That might have been just for me, but it was too good for me. I said, I'm going to give us a whole bunch. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to let them receive what God, you're saying to me. Yes. There is no time to be fearful in these times. I don't know what happened in Texas. Don't know how it happened. Got no idea. Hallelujah. God didn't tell me anything. So I'm not saying anything other than that. But I know that God tells us, you move forward. You just continue to move forward. And you'll see the hand of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you, Father. I come against any kind of fear in the name of Jesus in the lives of your people. Father, I thank you, Lord. Other than the fear of you, other than that reverence for you, Father God, I speak to every ounce of fear in the name of Jesus. Leave. Get out. Got no place here. No place. It's the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom of God in the earth. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. 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 Hallelujah.